May we be helped to commence our morning service of worship by singing part of hymn 783. Hymn 783 to the tune King Sela 167. We will sing the first two and the last two verses and verse number 7 in between. Hymn 783, first two verses, last two verses, and verse 7 in between. Oh, what a narrow path is that which leads to life. Some talk of works and some of faith, with warmth and zeal and strife, but after all that said or done, let men think what they will. The strength of every tempted son consists in standing still. Hymn 783, tune King Sela 167, verse 2, last 2 verses and verse 7.
read together from the most holy word of God, from the first epistle general of Peter. And I feel to read chapters 1 and 2. They go together. And so I venture to read the first two chapters of the first epistle general of Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, O do solemnize our hearts and minds now, O Lord, we plead, that we might rightly approach unto Thee, Thou who art most holy, yea, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, we might have that sense, as the Spirit reveals it to us, of who Thou art and what we are. And shall we not then, as we view a holy and a heart-searching God, when we stand in the light of Thy countenance, we shall see what we are, that we are sinners vile, beggars poor, yes, sinners vile, base, our sins, iniquities, our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, we shall see exactly what we are, and oh, what a mercy then, if by the operation of the Holy Spirit, there's that need being revealed to us, and we come as a beggar poor. We come as that black one, but drawn by the blessed Spirit, drawn to look to one that we once despised, drawn to look to one who was despised and rejected of men, and it was so by us for those many years. But all when the Spirit reveals to us the wonders of Thy salvation, and by whom it came, God the Son, God the Son. And shall we not then, as the Spirit teaches us and shows us the beauties of Christ, and that which came by Christ, and the wonders of that salvation, oh, what a mercy, when it is shown unto the most black sinner, the most hell-deserving sinner, the Mary or the Manasseh, or that one who comes, even as the apostle of old, of sinners of whom I am chief. Oh, when they see the suitability of Christ, and that of his salvation, that which he came to do. And it came to pass, that which was declared by the prophets of old, and the saints of old believed it, and that was their hope likewise in that which is to come, which was to come. But all that has taken place, it is recorded in Holy Writ, and we likewise walk by faith and not by sight. May we have that faith to look upon one that did give his life a ransom, laid down his life and took it up again. Oh, what a mercy, laid down his life as that sacrifice, shedding his own heart's blood. Blessed be God, the grave could not hold thee, and was then raised again for our justification. And so we plead, to grant unto one or another that sense of their sin, their great need. Oh, we know, we plead for us all, that we might each be brought there, but are perhaps as one or another, even this day, they've been brought to feel their need. Ah, yes, the foulest sinner, as the hymn writer put it, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Ah, that place, that refuge. Ah, we often think of that hymn, a refuge for sinners. The gospel makes known is found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Oh, grant encouragement, Lord, we plead, unto one or another. And all as we had in the prayer meeting, it came to our mind in prayer. Perhaps that one feels much discouragement within, opposition of Satan. Yes, that one attempted to give up and no more call upon thy name. Oh, we plead, do grant that encouragement. Grant that encouragement to go again and again. And we believe it is if it is that work of the Spirit will enable them so to do. But all we plead then, grant encouragement unto one or another, that perhaps they feel they wait daily at thy gates, at the post of thy doors, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and decade after decade, and they still wait. But all we plead then, to hasten that time when thou wilt likewise give them that answer of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. And so as we are favoured to gather in thy courts, look upon us each in mercy. Lord, and we would not be unmindful of those unable to gather here. We think once again of our dear sister in the faith where she is in her home. Lord, go to her where she is. Lord, we plead then. And thou art not confined to place or means or mode. And we are thankful for that. But all each as we've gathered from the youngest here to the oldest. Lord, thou knowest each one's need. Thou knowest each one's need. Those things which concern them in the way. And perhaps they are found in a pathway of life when they find the language of Jacob come suitable to them. It is their language likewise. All these things are against me. Perhaps they find this or that is against them. Enemies have risen up, difficulties in the way, dark places, mountains, things hard to be understood. Yes, afflictions and difficulties and trials and tribulations, they all conspire at times and they bring the poor into this. Yes, all these things are against me. That is how we're brought at times, yes, and storms of life, and those things which threaten to destroy, destroy, and we wonder whether we have any faith. We wonder whether we have any faith. And as one in the vestry pleaded thus, we can come even like the disciples of old, such is the path, and such is the trial. And the storm that threatens to destroy. Yes, carest thou, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, yes, we cannot cast a stone at those disciples. But blessed be God, that is not consign them to the depths of the waves. In thine anger, in mercy thou didst speak the word. And the wind ceased and the storm quietened, came to a stop. And did they not then marvel? Did they not then marvel? Concerning one, that even the winds and the waves obey him. But Lord, we plead them to remember each one according to their path, in having to cast their burden upon thee. And to seek thy face in all things. Lord, we plead even for the very young. And as we, at the prayer meeting, we thank thee for that portion of thy word, where thou didst declare, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. and so do enable one or another, perhaps in their young years, to call upon thee in their day of trouble. But also those as they grow up and they have all the various affairs that they now have to attend to, things that they have to give concern and thought to, Lord, in having to likewise cast their burden upon thee and to seek thy face in all things. But all we know that in our younger year, well, if whatever our age, we can soon become overtaken with the cares of this life. And it is applicable to whatever age we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. And so remember those that are growing up, and remember parents as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, it is a dark and evil day, and much to allure, much to tempt. Lord, do grant them that help then as they seek to guide and counsel their children. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. Remember each one according to their path in the midst of the trials of life, in providence and in grace. Ah, yes, whether it is the young ones through to the oldest of us here, ah, we each have that which thou hast appointed, and thou dost cause this or that to come. Nothing takes place by chance. All is ordered in all things, and sure, although to us it seems cross and quite contrarious. But all may we each prove in our day and generation, thou art a God for time and a God for eternity, a God of providence and a God of grace. And so we plead to remember each in their providences. Oh yes, that which is pertaining to everyday life and their path as they journey in this vale of tears. Oh, may they prove the gold and silver thine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. And so as we trust we've likewise proved it in our day, may we each prove it to the end of our days. The Lord is able to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. And do remember any that are afflicted. We thank thee for that measure of restoring unto our dear brother here, and healing mercies. But any that know that path of affliction, and even oneself, we thank thee for those mercies thus far. But O Lord, thou knowest. Ah, yes, thou knowest all that pertains to our bodies. Thou didst create man. And as thou didst create man, thou dost know all about every minute particle of body and mind and spirit. And oh, we plead then, as thou didst create man, ah, thou knowest everything, and thou art able, as thou art that good physician, if it could please thee, in thy time and way, ah, to grant that healing and restoring, if it should please thee. But oh, we plead for that grace to bear that which thou hast caused to come. And we trust we've proved, yes, the abundance of thy grace. Without thy grace, yes, without thy grace, where should we be? We would sink into the slough of despond. We would sink to rise no more. And did not the hymn writer put it like this? Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But oh, without thy sweet mercy, without thy grace and the abundance of it, we can say, can we not, each one of us here, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he hath helped us hitherto, will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. Ah, can we not, even this Sabbath morning, raise an Ebenezer to thy praise, an Ebenezer stone, a stone of help, and acknowledge thy goodness and thy mercy. And so remember each one according to their need. Remember thy true church. It is ministered and brought low. Oh, we've seen that which has taken place here. a turning aside, rebelliousness. Lord, thou canst work in the heart even of the most rebellious and cause unto return. And we plead that thou mightest yet bring back prodigals like that one that could only smite upon his breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, thou knowest where they are. Put forth thy mighty hand, we plead, and arrest them in their mad career. And are there none of thy dead elect in around thy courts here and the little hills of Zion elsewhere, that thou wouldest yet put forth thine hand and constrain them to come in like those Greeks of old? With us, sir, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. And so we plead as regards Zion, both here and elsewhere. Lord, we plead that thou wouldest yet grant a little reviving, a building up, according to thy most holy faith. And oh, we plead then, revive thy work. We come with the petition of Habakkuk of old. We need it personally. We need it in the churches. We need it in the nation. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And so we plead, do remember Zion. But we thank thee that there are, that even though we see many assaults upon Zion, secularism, atheism, false gods, all seem to rise up and conspire against that which is real, that which is true godliness and true religion. And we can soon become despondent and wonder where the scene will end. But blessed be God, the gates of hell, thy true church, is founded upon that rock which is Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We thank thee for it. But all we plead, as regards this land and nation, then, turn us once again and we shall be turned. Show our leaders what they ought to do. And maybe once said, if it could please thee, righteousness exalteth a nation. But now we are a reproach. We look upon the national church, and it is an apostate church. Ah, how solemn. Those who are appointed to high office, if we can put it like that, well, they look upon it like that. There are those hierarchies, as it were. But we know in the true church there is that whereby we shall be taking the lowest place. But all we see, blind leaders of the blind. They do not believe thy word. They live in abomination, many of them. How solemn it is. But Lord, we plead, do have mercy. Do have mercy. And we plead as regards our little denomination and that where thy word is truthfully preached. Keep from the errors that subtly come in. They subtly came into the Church of England. They've subtly come into this or that place. The subtlety of Satan, as they're seeking to broaden the way, when thy word declares it is a narrow way which leadeth unto life. And so we plead then, ever, and may we ever contend for the truth once delivered to the saints. May we ever be found amongst those that ask after the old paths, and not those that say we will not. And so we plead, ever keep us. And keep us close to thee. Keep us tender of heart and mind and conscience. And ever keep us from bringing shame and reproach upon thy name. All that name which is above every name. That name which is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, that one we trust has been made precious unto some of us here. Ah, the altogether, the altogether lovely. Oh, may it please thee then. We might ever be found walking in the tender fear of the Lord, eschewing evil. Ah, we know we have an old nature which it terrifies us at times, the very thought that our old nature dwells within. And left to ourselves, oh, how solemn the fall could be. And it brings us to this. Save me from the rocks and shells, but save me chiefly from myself. So we plead now for thy help. We thank thee for all thy mercies and favours. Bless us each together, do us each good, and send none empty away. May it please thee, even the language of the hymns, that experimental language, might come where some poor sinner is. Thou knowest even this one as stands up in thy name, be brought to weep before the Lord, when a certain part of a hymn was so sealed upon our heart, came right where we were. And so we plead thy blessing upon all parts of divine service this day. Help us now, we plead, pour into this empty earthen vessel that we may be now to pour out. Keep from self. May it be all of thee. Pardon and forgive then our sins and our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices, God willing, are as follows. On the Tuesday evening, Mr. Matthew Hyde has been engaged to preach here, and our monthly prayer meeting has been moved to Friday the 17th of May. Also, the Tuesday service on the 7th of May has been moved to Friday the 10th of May. The collection and donations received throughout the month are in the general fund, £1,985. In the benevolent fund, £55. We would be truly thankful and acknowledge the Lord's mercies in his rich provision. Thank the friends for their willing giving. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 7 to the tune Pure Delight, 929. Hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. In all his holy sovereign will, he is I daily find. Too wise to be mistaken still, too good to be unkind. When sore afflictions on me lie, he is, though I am blind. Too wise to be mistaken, yea, too good to be unkind. Hereafter he will make me know, and I shall surely find he was too wise to err, and oh, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7, tune Pure Delight, 929.
Prayerful attention, we turn to the first epistle, General Peter, and the second chapter, and we'll read the first clause of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the first clause of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The solemnity of it is unto them which believe. I know I hadn't thought of speaking this way, but it comes on mind as regards a prayer meeting. than that which we read there. And so I turn to it again, but there were two types of people that went or were found in that place that day. We don't know of any others, but there's that description of those two. One the Pharisee, one the publican. As we said at the prayer meeting, they both addressed God, but one was not by faith. He knew not God. Not in that way that one, yes, what a mercy that we have that venturing faith of that the publican. That one that was despised by this Pharisee. But he knew his need, brought to know his need. But that Pharisee, yes, how solemn. And that's how we are by nature. We can have a form of godliness which hath no power. We might not be out with the world in all its wickedness. Yes. But he was still found amongst the wicked, but he didn't know it. And so there's those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And it's not always in that way of outward profanity and that which he'd, as he looked upon others, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. But he was found amongst them, likewise, a sinner, but he didn't know it. How solemn. That's how we are then. When we were conceived and born, brought forth into this world, we came forth from our mother's wombs as a sinner. As a sinner. Dead in trespasses and sins. And none can know it. And until the Spirit works in the heart. And when the Spirit works in the heart, there will be that conviction of sin. No doubt about it. Conviction of sin. When that one is convicted of his sins, he won't commend himself before God as not being this and not being that and not being the other. He'll know a little of this. Of sinners of whom I am chief. He certainly won't be able to point the finger anymore. May have done before. But when the Lord... Well, when the Lord God Almighty humbles a poor sinner, brings him to see his need, and that he's a lawbreaker, and before a holy and a heart-searching God, he is condemned under the law, and that condemnation is it not? Death. Eternal death. Yes. Eternal death. How he commended himself. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The works of God, the word of God declares. He had no faith to believe in God, for there's nothing wrought in his heart by the Spirit. But oh, what a mercy if we can trace out a little of our standing, even that publican. Well, what did he have to say? Nothing concerning himself as regards recommending himself. Yes, and what a mercy if the Lord, Almighty God, has stopped up your mouth and mine and brought us in as that one in need, as a sinner indeed, are a hell-deserving sinner. No more like that one. I'm not as other men. When the mouth is put in the dust, like then that publican standing afar off. Oh, do you feel to be that one afar off? Yes, that's how we are by nature. We are afar off. And that quickened sinner is brought to feel he's afar off. But what a mercy. Afar off, yes. But the Spirit working within him. That which is of life unto life, not death unto death. That life of faith given to him, to venture. Venture, yes, as a hell-deserving sinner. Oh, do we know anything of that then? Convinced of sin. Oh, I feel in our day there's not much conviction of sin. Where is the exceeding sinfulness of sin in our day? It's easily passed over or thought little of. But that work of grace by the Spirit will convince of sin. If it's no conviction of sin, there's no need of Christ. Yes, it comes down to that. There's no need of Christ until there's that conviction of sin. Because Christ gave himself, gave his life as a ransom for sinners. Not for the self-righteous, not for those that have no need. But gave his life a ransom for sinners. Some speak of the love of God and the love of Christ in their heart, but it's only that which comes from the lip. But do we know that which is from the heart, whereby conviction of sin, that which is truly wrought in the heart by the Spirit, and that faith then, a little venturing faith, as the Spirit opens up to your understanding and to your view by faith, Christ and the preciousness of Christ, the beauties of Christ, the fullness that resides in Christ, the wonders of Christ. It's a mercy indeed when it, yes, how much we trust, we prove it as our years go on. And certainly when it is in times of tribulation, trial and affliction and difficulty, then there's more teaching, is there not? Abasing of the poor sinner and exalting of a precious Christ. Christ is made more precious. But do we know anything of the preciousness of Christ? The desire, the longing, the hungering and thirsting after him and his righteousness? Those chapters we read, or is that the desire of your heart that you might be brought into the language of it and the sweet knowledge of it, not in the letter of it, but in the as it is inscribed upon your heart by the Spirit, in the fleshy temple of the heart, to the joy and rejoice in your soul. It speaks, does it not, of the precious blood of Christ? Speaks of that regarding Christ and his resurrection, those lively hopes, that abundant mercy. Or do you come with that in your very heart, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Take away the scales from my eyes, that I might see thee clearly. I know I said before, but I know those years back now when burdened, brought into that deeper burden over my sin, there was this longing for Christ to be revealed to me. To speak the word only. To say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Yet it seemed I cried and shouted but shut out my voice. But ah, yes, what a mercy, that trial of your faith, like that dear woman. We read of when that woman went unto the Lord, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Yet I believe by the blessed, well it was by the blessed Spirit, that living faith. Did not the Lord say, greater faith have I not seen in the whole, all of Israel? Or some words to that effect. That God-given faith. That God-given faith. Or has that faith been wrought in your heart, given to you by Almighty God, and yet it seems, silence. You plead on, Paul, and I believe the Spirit will enable you so to do, against all opposition of Satan and the old man of sin within. Ah, yes, that warfare will be that stirred up by that warfare in the heart by the old man of sin within and Satan without. They're both in league together. They're one and the same. And perhaps tempting you to give up. And no more call upon his name. If it's that which is of the Spirit, and that living desire wrought in your heart by the Spirit, through that work of grace, you won't give up. Blessed be God. You won't give up. The Lord has begun that good work in you. He will perform it. Unto that day of salvation when the Lord by the Spirit the Lord will be revealed to you in all his beauty, in all his sufficiency. But oh, how solemn then, if we should come to the end of our days and be found like that one, if thank God there is not like other men. When he spake concerning those things that he had done, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. But oh, what a mercy of the Lord works that in your heart, where you can speak, testify of what the Lord God Almighty has done for an unworthy sinner. Ah, yes, I feel there are many that can testify of what they've done for the Lord. Can say they can say they've done this and that in his name. Ah, yes, and perhaps on the outward sight of things, there's, as we said, I believe at the prayer meeting, that whited sepulchre. They know nothing of being all foul within, but that day will reveal it. The day of judgment will reveal that. Ah, yes, those two characters there in that day of judgment, if there's nothing wrought in the heart of that Pharisee, it will be said unto him, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's the solemnity of it. Depart from me, for I never knew you. But all that publican, with all his felt sins, and that one that no doubt pointed the finger at him. Not like this one. Raised in that day, as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Oh, you think upon it, poor sinner. That one, the beggar upon the dunghill, that one with all his wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, raised again in that day as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God. You think upon it, a joint heir with Christ. Ah, not through works that they have done. Not through their own righteousness, but through that which is by Christ. That which is by Christ. but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Yes, that love of the brethren. Ah, what a mercy if there's a little tracing out there. And we don't mean everyone that attends a house of God in that way. Be mercy if it is so. But those truly are the despised people of the Lord. Ah, when there's that wrought in the heart of a poor sinner, there's that love to the brethren. Why is that? Is it not because of this? They see a reflection of Christ in that portion, that which is within them, which is not of the man, not the natural man, but is Christ formed in them, the heart of glory, their hope of glory. Christ formed in them, the hope of glory. They view something in that one they once likewise would have shunned. Shunned. Like they did the Lord Jesus Christ. But when there's that wrought in the heart of a poor sinner, when there's that quickening work, when they're born again of the Spirit, when they view that in another, of the saints walking here in the vale of tears, there'll be that love to them. This ye know, the word of God declares, when ye have passed from death unto life, when ye love the brethren. But oh, do we know then that whereby we've been brought in our measure, like as that publican there, yes, feelingly to stand afar off, can't feelingly say nigh, made nigh by the blood of Christ, he fears to presume. We're not so much as lift his eyes up unto heaven. No presumption there. No recommending of himself, but humbled. Humbled under the mighty hand of God. Yes, and in that true humility and godly sorrow, not just from the lip, but it came from the heart, he smote upon his breast. And his cry was this, was it not? What a petition. Oh, may we know something of that short petition there. No recommending himself, but his confession of sin, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Reminds me of that malefactor that was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. One, he was like that one, he wasn't a Pharisee, but he was one also dead, interested in sins. One perished in his sins, one of the malefactors. And at the end of that, when he bowed his head likewise and the Spirit departed from him, it was eternal death. But all that one on the other side of Lord Jesus Christ, confession of sin, and the venturing by faith, yes, as that taught him in that last moment of his life, and such a beauty and a suitability was shown to him concerning Christ. One that he once despised and railed upon. But he brought to this, was he not? We indeed justly suffer our sins, but this man. Oh, what did he what was shown to him concerning this man. What a mercy. One spotless, pure and undefiled. The Lamb of God. Yes, one verily God, verily man. Yes, incarnate God. One that came to seek and to save that which was lost. One that was in that moment of time giving his life as a ransom for sinners. Shown to him in that moment of time the suitability and the beauty of Christ. And there was that venturing by faith. That venturing by faith. And so that's where a poor sinner must be brought to. That faith given by God. And there's that then venturing by faith, but humbled. Humbled under the mighty hand of God. And so like that dying thief, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yes, he confessed his sins. And so like this publican, in that way, he couldn't smite upon his breast physically in that way, for you know that both his hands were nailed to the cross on which he was placed. But in his heart, in his heart there was this, was it not? We indeed justly. We indeed justly suffer for our sins, our deeds, our iniquities. But this man hath done nothing amiss. God be merciful to a sinner. Well, we read, do we not, in the prayer meeting, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that is exalted himself shall be abased. And he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Justified. Well, my mind in the early hours of the morning went back again to that precious portion that I often refer to, but it's in my own experience, and it is according to the Word of God, and we have to preach that which we know and have been taught. We can't preach something which we don't know or haven't been taught. But oh, what a mercy, as we read in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ah, yes, as that looking as regard the past. Yes, unto you therefore which believe he is precious. You may feel, well, I can't come very far. He is all my desire. What a mercy. If you did, if that wrought in your heart that desire of Christ, that longing after him and his righteousness. But oh, can you say, like the apostle, perhaps in that way, in the past, there's that change wrought in the heart, and you hath he quickened. Yes, without the when there's that quickening work of grace, there's a change. It cannot be otherwise. Some feel they can be there can be that change, but they can still go on as they did and live as they list and do as they please. But that's not according to work of the Word of God. That work of quickening grace, that being born again of the Spirit, there's that change. So there's that looking back in that way upon what you were and what you hope you now are by grace. Yes, by grace, not of self, but by grace, sovereign grace. When it searches out a poor sinner, it will work in their heart, as we said, to change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Time passed. Can you look back, poor sinner? Yes, you feel you can't come very far, but can you measure, look back and say, yes, by the blessed Spirit, by that quickening work, if it is that work, there's been that change. There was a time past when I desired nothing but the things of the world, the pleasures of this life. I could go here and do that and act as I please, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But oh, the apostle then, wherein in time passed. He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Poor fearful one that, yes, fears to presume. Is it that then you can look back by the Spirit and you can see there is that change wrought, there's been that wrought powerfully, mightily in your heart, which you couldn't do for yourself, but there's that that wrought there. Brought to see that you are a sinner indeed, a sinner in need, and that looking for one to save. Desiring one to speak, to reveal himself to you. As I said, this chapter in Ephesians, when those many years ago now, when the Lord was pleased to bring me into the liberty of the gospel, it was through partly through this chapter too. On the one hand, I presume, I fear to presume, and on the other, the old devil said, "Well, you have no hope." Well, both on the in as it were together, that fear to presume, and as it were also with the adversary at the right hand saying, "Well, you have no hope." But all when that particular morning came, when morning by morning, over a long period of time, these words would come into my mind, "By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved." I couldn't really understand it, but it seemed morning by morning, the same words, "By grace ye are saved." And then it seemed we added to it, "By grace are you saved through faith." May have said before, but oh, poor sinner, if there's that word of the Lord has been put into your heart by the Spirit, quench not the Spirit. Is that still small voice? What a mercy, have you heard the still small voice? That still small voice. And so I ventured one morning, I didn't know where the word was, it showed my ignorance of the word of God in that way. But then she found it, and it was this chapter in Ephesians. And as I read through that chapter, all the scales fell from my eyes. The light shone in. The light shone in. The light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what a mercy. It is not left to the poor sinner to do these things himself, but by the Spirit it is done. By the blessed Spirit it is done. And it shall accomplish in that poor sinner that which he hath purposed, whereby they shall be brought to this. They have been able to say, "He is precious. He is precious." You read that second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. In the 12th verse, it speaks like this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. Yes, aliens. From the commonwealth of Israel. and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, oh, do you long for that but now, poor sinner? Yes, that but now. Ah, that time of that but now will come. There's a time appointed, an appointed time when the Lord favours Zion. And they were brought to that place where they are brought into the banqueting house, where his banner of them is love. Precious. Christ will be made precious to them. He'll become then unto them truly be altogether lovely. But what a mercy if that is your desire at the moment. You desire Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. That's real religion. That's something which is more than notion. You desire that which is that might be known and felt in the heart, in the soul. Ah, yes, we must have that which is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. But ah, that one that desires Christ, there shall come that time when he will reveal himself to them. And it will be by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Christ will be revealed to them, their hope of glory. Christ will be revealed to them, their hope of glory. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. Yes, made nigh. Made nigh. Not afar off where you feel, that's how you feel to be. But made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Oh, that one. That which separated a poor sinner from God. Sin brought about that separation. But our reconciliation came by Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are afar off, and to them that were nigh. Oh, you read that chapter, but oh, what a mercy. What a mercy. But that path which is appointed for the Lord's people, ah, what a mercy also. It is a path of tribulations and trials and afflictions and difficulties. But oh, as we read in that chapter 1, there is that which shall try the faith, and there shall be that trial of your faith. Ah, yes, that trial of your faith. Some of you proved it so. And what a trial it is at times, and trial after trial it seems. But blessed be God when, through those trials of our faith, Christ is made more precious. That those things which are shown to us in those times of trial and tribulation, affliction and difficulty, which we never saw before concerning Christ. I want to speak reverently, but we will never get to the full length and breadth and height and depth of his beauty, of that wonder which is of Christ. But we come in measure to see a little more of it each time. Yes, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of the Lord of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye see him not, now ye see him not, yet believing. So sometimes, and the Lord's people find it so, days of darkness, those times of trial. Faith is tried, hope is tried. But blessed be God. Ah, blessed be God. Whom having not seen ye love, there the Spirit will never forsake that poor sinner. But the Spirit will breathe upon their dry bones. Ah, yes, and in those times of, well, felt barrenness and darkness. Ah, the Spirit moving within. Brought to sympathy, in that place where we are brought into sympathy with Christ and his sufferings, we do but taste that cup. We see one who has drunk it quite a. We do but taste it. Christ made precious. Christ made precious again and again. Yes, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Blessed be God. Yes, when we prove, we see once again, in that second chapter closes, one who suffered for us. Leave us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Ah, the preciousness of Christ. For ye were a sheep. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Yes, we're like sheep still. Ah, what a mercy then. When, yes, there are sheep that are brought into that way of righteousness, we have to confess, we often turn aside. Ah, sheep, rebellious creatures, wayward creatures, and so are we. But oh, when we prove there is that one that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity, precious Christ, ah, one that has said, oh, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, what a mercy, and that one that's brought into that way, which is a narrow way, which is a path of tribulation and afflictions and difficulties. But when you prove there is help laid upon one of these mighty, one that has said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ah, how precious then, precious indeed, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 991 to tune also 933. Emptied of self I fain would be. the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. Larger communion let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this no power have I, my strength is at thy feet to lie. Hymn 991, tune Allstone, 933.
dear Lord, to be pleased to bless that which is of Thee. Ah, may we each know what it is, to have that desire wrought in our heart by the Spirit. Ah, that desire after Christ and His righteousness. Oh, that desire to see one who is most precious, one who is the altogether lovely. Oh, may it please You then. Work in our hearts mightily. Oh, work in our hearts mightily. Those without desire, Lord, do yet lift up the light of Thy countenance upon them. Reveal Thyself to them through the lattice of the gospel. May they yet rejoice in Thee. And so we plead Thy blessing upon Thy word. Forgive all Thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do be pleased to come up again at the evening hour. Our need is great, but Thou art greater than our need. And so we would now fall into Thy hands, into Thy kind care and keeping as we leave Thy courts. Favour us with sweet meditation, Lord, we plead. Give us that burden and exercise of soul. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Now and forevermore. Amen.